What's going on, y'all? It's your boy Cool Coloss here, and you are now tuning into a new episode of the Pro Black Blurred Kingdom Podcast. On today's episode, I'm going to be talking about a lot of different topics here, but the main and central topic is going to be around reparations. I'm going to start off by first telling you what my thoughts are on reparations. I'm also going to be presenting some arguments that I have heard against reparations and some counters to those arguments that I typically hear. I'm then going to go into comments that were made by Jane Elliott on reparations and why I don't rock with Jane Elliott. And at the end, what I'm going to do is something that I thought was a little cool, like a little different, and kind of give you a hypothetical scenario of what I would do and what my campaign would essentially look like if I were a politician and what my policies would be. So first, let me start off by telling you my thoughts on reparations. When it comes to reparations in America, we need to have a long discussion. And I feel we need to talk about this in light of some of the opinions I've seen flying around about this topic over time. You know, between a live video that I recently had, and shout out to Brother Blurred Images for even putting this live on, between, you know, the live video that we had, some of the opinions of white Democrats over time using the word reparations and giving it this weird, scurvy new meaning and calling it calling basically anything that's a nothing burger to black folks reparations. And then the interviews that I've seen from Dr. Umar Johnson, I think it's time that we touch on this topic from the Cool Coloss perspective and get the breakdown. First of all, I want to make it painfully clear that yes, I absolutely support reparations, but we need to talk about what that looks like. Reparations in America needs to be solely for foundational black Americans. For those of you who are listening and either don't know what that term is or are pretending like you don't know what that term is, I'm going to say it regardless. It's a term that's meant for black people whose lineage comes from America. Foundational black Americans is not a group, a faction, or a cult, or anything else that people try to label it as. It's even silly when others say things like, oh, I don't identify with that. To me, that means that you don't have a lineage that is based in America. Although I know the context they are using it in is to say it's a group they aren't aligned with, which again is inaccurate. Being a foundational black American means that your roots are from America as a black person. And it's very simple. So it literally is a culture. So you're either a part of it or you're not. What society loves to do, though, is to pretend like foundational black Americans are just a group of miscellaneous Africans who simply have not come into fruition of what part of Africa they are from. To me, this is disrespectful and it's disingenuous. FBAs have built this country from the ground up and basically worked for free. That is why this specific group needs reparations from America, and only this specific group. And I 100% support immigrants in other countries who have things like CARICOM going to get their reparations. So this is not to say that I don't support other blacks getting it too. And see, foundational black Americans are kept out of that completely. And I'm cool with that. I'm cool with that being a specific thing for black immigrants. We don't need to really be a part of that. I'm just saying that here in America, that is something that should be exclusively for foundational black Americans. But when I speak about FBAs, I'm talking about individuals who have had at least one parent whose lineage can be traced back to the 1870 census. And this does not include what Tariq Nasheed calls anchor babies. And it does not include black immigrants who have been living in America for an extended period of time either. Speaking of that, it was Tariq Nasheed who coined the term, and Claude Anderson who had influence over it in the beginning when he was talking about Native Blacks. For those of you who don't know what an anchor baby is, by the way, it's an individual who was black and had parents who immigrated here from somewhere else in the diaspora, like Africa or the Caribbeans, etc. And then they had that baby in America. So that baby is considered an anchor baby. And also, all this is one of the reasons why I hate the term African American. First of all, it's a trick word and it's political. It's a term that was popularized in the late 80s by Jesse Jackson and other so-called civil rights leaders. It's a trick term because it doesn't specifically specify a race, and it pretends as if African is a race when essentially it would be a nationality, which would need to come second in that word. Hence why America or American is typically second in the word African American. In this context, what African American does is it brings this whole one big Negro trope when it comes to black lineage in America, and it confuses the difference between those who are from here and those who are of a black immigrant lineage. Hell, I'll go a step further. Based on that definition of African American, it could be tricked up so much that Elon Musk could be considered an African American. And when it comes to reparations, this could be a very dangerous game to play. Think about it. Elon Musk is South African, so technically he could call himself an African American. And think about it from this context. You don't think white people are walking around laughing about this because they technically have African American, quote unquote, in their blood? Because think about it. Everyone's DNA can be traced back to Africa. And ultimately, this whole ideal muddies the waters. And I'll go into why I hate the term African American altogether, though, some other time outside of the things that I've said. But right now, I want to get to the topic of reparations. From my perspective, reparations should be cash payments. If you want to add in other things like land, education, and other shit like that, so be it. But cash payments are my prime concern. I see this because cash payments give you the autonomy to do whatever it is that you have to do. It is untraceable and it cannot be trick-bagged, unlike all of these other things. Cash payments would be helpful to the black community because cash is king and would significantly help our community to achieve the equity needed in this country to thrive and build many things on our own. We also need local, state, and federal cash payments at that. And I'm thinking somewhere around $30 trillion distributed outright or in segments, but I'd increase the number if it was segments since you want to play with that whole inflation bullshit. And that should be distributed to foundational black Americans. Obviously, reparations doesn't replace the lives lost because, you know, only necromancy would do that, right? But it would be some form of repayment. Really, I'm all for all of those things again to be included. Cash, land, education, whatever. But cash would be an absolute requirement for me to deem it acceptable. Now let's talk about some arguments and criticisms received to the above statement and how I would respond to it. As I just told you all earlier, I was just on a live Instagram with some brothers I spoke about, and we had a conversation about being FBA and then reparations. And one thing that came up was this conversation about reparations and how a lot of people in the chat, and another brother, his name was, I think, Rashad1K on Instagram. Shout out to that brother, by the way. He was pretty cool. But they had this mindset that we don't need cash reparations, cash payment reparations. The argument I saw was that cash payments is a setup for us to end up giving the money right back to white folks. I also heard Umar Johnson in a couple different interviews say something similar in a speech. Only difference is he said he supports it, but he believes we should not get it until we are ready mentally. So, as my first argument, I would love to address that initial pushback that I've seen when it comes to the reparations cash payment demand. So, again, I'm going to present it as in what the argument typically is. We should not have cash payment reparations because we will end up giving it right back to white folks, or we should not have cash payment reparations because we aren't mentally ready to receive it. Here's my rebuttal to that. Family, our people have got to get out of that mindset. This is basically assuming that every or the majority of our people are just lowbrow individuals in society. Think about all the very ambitious FBA persons out there who just need a little chunk of coins to get their business popping, or can buy up houses and sell them back to folks, or can flip the money that they are given. Hell, I know I could start a hella big comic brand and revolutionize the blurred world and take that bitch by storm right now if I had that money. Our people have done amazing things and made amazing inventions even when we didn't even have a pot to piss in. Think about all the great inventions we've made that inspire the world. You know, like cell phones, internet, light bulbs. Yes, we made the filament, so light bulbs counts for us. Agricultural engineering. I mean, the list goes on. How dare anybody really just sit here and act like we aren't amazing just because you got a few bummy hood niggas that you all think represent our culture as a whole. Think about when they call us ghetto. Ghetto ain't nothing more than creativity in spite of a lack of resources. We are the masters of this thing. I mean, seriously, our ancestors built a Black Wall Street that ended up being worth $60 million, where they were piss poor at first and had broken spirits, not to mention all the other Wall Streets that actually existed. And y'all are just sitting here acting like we weren't amazing. My next argument to that point would be, so how long will we have to wait for the great education before niggas will be ready? 10 years? 20 years? After we devise a plan for getting niggas' minds right? And then how are you going to prove these niggas are quote unquote ready? You going to have a real nigga mental check event and line every FBA up and have a brain scan done to see if they're mentally prepared for receiving the money? Like, seriously, explain how that would be logically possible to fix, let alone tally. And I don't want to disrespect Umar because I like that brother. And despite all the flack that he gets, I think he puts out a lot of good information that the Black community needs to hear and made many contributions to the Black community as well. But I need to say this. There are times where I see some hypocrisy and plot holes in some of his logic, but not all the time and not often. But here's one thing that I really see. You fear FBAs getting reparations until they are mentally ready and not just blindly receiving it. But how would he feel if someone said that he shouldn't receive donations blindly for his school until he can prove his mental is together and what he plans to do with the school? He gets defensive at the mere idea of people even questioning him because of all the hatred he gets. And again, I'm not hating on his school because I think that he does a lot of great things and has great insight for our community. But I can't roll with bro on this. Part of it is, and I see this quite a bit, I believe Umar is actually partially FBA himself. I think he's half Cuban, half FBA, but I'm not 100% sure on that. My point is, a lot of these halvesies, as I would call them, who are still FBA, by the way, like to take on the mentality of their non-FBA side completely. And when we speak about issues with FBAs, they say greasy things or they plebiscite babble a lot. But don't you dare talk about that other side or it's on and popping. And I've seen numerous examples of this too in real life, family. Also, another point about that is, why is it that whenever there's some talk about giving our people, FBAs, that is, some tangibles, there has to be this conversation roped in about why we aren't ready or how we don't deserve it? Even our own, other FBAs at that, are doing this. Was this a conversation that was had with the red natives before they received their checks and their reparations, or did they just get checks so they can get casinos and pipes and fucking deer jerky? No one bats an eye when other groups talk about tangibles, but when it comes to us, we get into hyper-analysis, and as Tariq Nasheed likes to say, plebiscite babble. I think I kind of said it earlier too. Nobody plays the pseudo-therapist with these other groups. Imagine someone rolling up to your mama's crib, chalking her out on spot, and stealing her home and living in it. You find all this out and figure out that you were next to inherit what she had. Imagine a cousin or a friend coming up to you and saying, "Well, shit, I don't know. We gots to see if you is mentally ready to inherit her crib now that they caught this guy who did all this. I know what happened to your mama was traumatizing, so maybe we should get you mentally well just to be sure before you get all of that stuff and before you give it back to the government." That's another thing, family. Couldn't that shit be said for any form of reparations you may get? What if you get a bunch of land and no damn cash? If we are as stupid as people are making us out to be, including our own, wouldn't we end up giving that land right back to white people? Are homes foreclosed and sold? That is? Because we didn't know how to take care of it? Then we'd be broke and homeless, according to their logic, right? That's kind of what they're insinuating. As far as I'm concerned, you can't do shit with a bunch of land and no damn money. Taxes would eat your ass right up, because as I said, they'll find a way to trick bag it and put something real scurvy on the land allotments. Plus, look at it from this angle. If I take out a student loan, I can't repay that bitch back by saying, "Here is my apartment in Kalamazoo, Michigan. You can live there and instead and pay $1,000 per month. And that'll be my repayment for taking out that loan." I can't say I took out a loan, let me pay you back by handing over my educational degree, my college degree, which, to be honest, I would love to fucking do at this point in my life because it would save me a lot of strife. They are going to want cash. So what I'm saying is, pay me for the free labor my ancestors gave to you to build this bitch from scratch, since you can't give it to them because your people and other groups colonized, stole from us, and mass murdered us. This is a big one, so please stay with me on this one, family, because I'm almost done with this point. Reparations is not a trophy we have to earn by proving our business savvy and intellect or our work ethic. It is a debt that is owed. So even if those hood niggas, you think all of us, all of black society that is, wants to give back to white folks, then to be honest, that is their God-given right to do so. Tell the Native Americans to have some business decorum before they receive those checks, and then get back at me with that argument. And don't get me wrong, y'all. I do think it would be nice for us to get our minds together, and I'm not totally against it. What I am against is saying that we've got to be together, like all of us be together, before we receive that check. My final point to all of that is, the white supremacist clearly isn't stupid. If they thought we were going to give it back, they would have given it to us already to shut us up so they can say, "Well, we gave you niggers reparations and you went and pissed it all away." They actually think we may do something constructive with the money, and that's why they haven't given it to us. Unlike our people, they don't underestimate what we are and have always been capable of. For them, they believe a wrong move like that could result in the end of their race. Now let's go into the second argument here. What about white people getting a piece of the reparations by pretending to be black or trying to say that they have black ancestors? That's the argument. That's the pushback to reparations there. Now, here is my answer to that. One requirement we should have is that you have to be a person who has identified as black in this nation for the last 10 years or more, and then you can qualify. Because whites know that they benefit from being white with their privilege and with their $1 million worth of whiteness. They wouldn't dare pretend to be black, and certainly not for 10 damn years. I wouldn't worry about them. And for those who are mixed queens and kings, like mixed, but are white passing, I suggest you get your mind right and stop saying shit like, "I'm not black, I'm mixed." Cut that bullshit out. I'm not hating on what you are, but you need to start kind of being aware of your role in all of this. Your ass is probably fucking around trying to identify as white for so damn long that you might end up getting yourself fucked when it comes to reparations. You might actually try to pass for white when it comes to what you identify with on the census and being able to get away with it. But again, with white folks, I wouldn't worry too much about them getting it because they are too afraid to pass up the opportunity to be bathed in white privilege, to be worried about what they feel is a possible chance for them to get a payout from our reparations. Again, 10 years or more as a qualified black person, somebody who has basically identified as black on the census and other places as well too, in America. So here's the third argument. Where is the money going to come from? And here's my rebuttal to that. One thing I've learned from doing my research and listening to candidates like Marcel Dixon, shout out to that brother, by the way, he is definitely very knowledgeable because he was running a reparations platform in South Carolina as a politician when he was running against Jim Clyburn. He actually taught me quite a bit about like what that looks like with the government. And so I want to kind of say or tell y'all some stuff that I kind of learned from just listening to him quite a bit. The United States is a monetary sovereignty. What this means is that the United States has the right of a state to issue a national currency, regulate its use within the territory, and use monetary policy to achieve domestic policy objectives. In other words, they set the monetary laws in their government. Although the federal government collects taxes, it does not live and thrive off of tax revenue. They can make their own money, family, and they do it very often. There is always this weird thing where you start talking about reparations and everybody starts saying, "What about the debt? What about the debt? Where is we gonna get the money from? We is in debt." But riddle me this. What happened to the debt conversation when they gave Native Americans reparations? When money was sent to Ukraine? When they were portrayed as victims, although those Nazis were over there mistreating black people in their own homeland? Where was this debt talk when it was time to give money to the Japanese or to World War II causes or families of 9/11 and many other situations? Only with us do they start talking about debt and doing research studies and this data calibration bullshit that they always talk about. And don't blame the Republicans either. The Democrats are even worse. The Republicans, they said fuck us for sure, but the Democrats said fuck us on the low, then turned around and gave tangibles and laws to all these other quote-unquote underserved groups, such as gays and all types of other people like that. Meanwhile, we give like 90% of our vote to them after all those years of being harassed into it by the old niggas that I talked about two episodes ago. We should be able to get reparations without raising taxes too, or any of that bullshit. Here's the next pushback. What about racism? Shouldn't reparations be about helping all people who have been damaged by white supremacy? My response to that is, tell that to the red natives. Reparations is not about solving racism or dismantling white supremacy, although our new paid wealth could potentially result in such if we pull the right moves. It's really about paying a debt that's owed to a certain group of people, and it's as simple as that. We're acting like it's an anomaly for blacks, for black folks, when it's already being done and given to other groups. Replacing the system of white supremacy with the system of justice has nothing to do with owing me my damn money. And I don't mean this offensively, I'm just stating facts. But when it comes to black immigrants, that reparations package is not for them. Now, it would be cool if they'd support us in our endeavors to get it, but I know only a select few probably will. The honest to God truth is that this is something that was meant for us and only for us. They should support us in the same way we support them getting things like CARICOM. As far as other immigrants and non-whites go, one big problem I have been seeing is that we speak a lot about general racism and general white supremacy, which ends up boiling down to benign neglect. The truth is, every group gets impacted by white supremacy to some extent, even other whites, because many times they will sacrifice their own to create a ruse like nothing is happening. But what we really need to realize is that, one, none of that suffering is equated to the 500 plus years of what FBAs have suffered at the hands of the white supremacists. And two, instead of just saying racism, we need to start looking at this from the standpoint of anti-blackness, especially as it pertains to black Americans. So in other words, instead of saying racism, say anti-black racism. Or instead of saying white supremacy, say anti-black white supremacy. And I would even put a little bit of respect on FBAs when you talk about it too. Now, here's the next pushback point. How would this help America as a whole? Here's my response to that. For one, paying black Americans is paying homage to its builders and original inhabitants. And reparations is a debt that's owed, and it shouldn't even be looked at as a what's in it for me. Regardless, the giving nature of blacks would inherently result in our people helping to stabilize the economy all over the country. The inherent desperate nature of the white supremacists to survive and dominate makes them fail to see how well, they would still be taken care of, even if there was a shift in the social structure with blacks being in a more advantageous situation. Also, too, if you didn't know, there was a study that was done by Citigroup that showed that because of anti-black racism that was done to black Americans and a lack of reparations, the U.S. has lost $16 trillion since 2020. The country is not as wealthy, peaceful, and united because they have not chosen to pay us out our money. And just to give you a little further look at that breakdown, that means that there was $13 trillion lost in potential business revenue because of discriminatory lending policies to African-American, as they say, entrepreneurs, with an estimated 6.1 million jobs not generated as a result. $2.7 trillion in income was lost because of disparities in wages suffered by, as they said, African-Americans. $218 billion was lost over the past two decades because of discrimination in providing housing credit. And $90 billion to somewhere around $113 billion in lifetime income was lost from discrimination in accessing higher education. The U.S., by the way, is only worth $19 trillion. Allowing blacks to flourish could have stabilized the whole economy instead of putting us where we are at now. The next point of pushback is, why should I have to pay for something that my ancestors didn't do? And that's typically a point that white people, what I would call potential white supremacists, would make. And here's my answer to that one. The truth is that you benefit from anti-black white supremacy as a white person because now you have, again, $1 million worth of whiteness in your favor. Most of you all have inheritance, land, and other assets because your families pillaged and killed the families of our ancestors to allow you to live comfortable lives. That's like your mama stealing $100,000 from my mama and then she buys you a cottage with it, but passes later herself. Will you go to me and say, hey, let me give this cottage back to you because that was wrong what my moms did? Or will you just live in that bitch, shrug, and say, that ain't got nothing to do with me? Most of y'all already know that they're already doing this. They're already doing the latter of the two. Are we not a country that talks about accountability and integrity? And you're implementing, I'm white, and I say so, which is yet another benefit of white privilege. Even if you are a poor white person, you still have white privilege. Get pulled over by the police and see how they treat you versus me, a college-educated black man. And speaking of that, even some of you poor whites who graduated high school have a better chance of getting a job than me as a college-educated black man. Isn't that about a bitch? For those of you all who are not white, I would say I have never pilfered or pillaged the red natives, nor did my ancestors. And I always have to have a little bit of my own money cut out in taxes to help red natives by giving them their reparations, along with Social Security to pay a bunch of useless old bastards who will reap those benefits, and I'll never get them myself. As a matter of fact, based on historical context, you red natives actually owe us money. Some of y'all enslaved black Americans too, along with the white supremacists, and took their land. So, from my perspective, when speaking about hypocrisy, I guess we are both hurt. Speaking of people talking about not owing us reparations, I want to have a quick conversation about y'all's girl, Jane Elliott. If you don't know who that is, she is a diversity educator and a strategist who is known for her brown eye, blue eye experiment. And yes, she is a white woman, an older white woman. And a lot of black people like this woman because she likes to tell white people about themselves and how racist and privileged they are. Many of our people see her as a white hero. She's one of those white people that goofy Negroes talk about, quote unquote, inviting to the cookout. So this brother I follow, whose name I believe is Emmanuel, has this podcast called the Socks and Sandals Podcast. By the way, shout out to that brother as well. He's very thorough. But anyway, this video I'm about to tell you about is where I met him. And when I first made a comment, it was extra critical, you know, of the job that he did when he was speaking with Jane Elliott. And I later apologized for that. And looking back, I probably could have eased up on him a bit before making the statements that I made. And see, here's the thing about me, family. When I make mistakes or miss something, I'll admit it. I'm not perfect, but I definitely do and say everything I say with passion and great intention. And anybody who knows me knows that. Anyway, back to the story. We definitely follow one another and are supportive of each other's plights. But on this video, he had Jane Elliott on as a guest on his podcast. And it was him and it was another brother who was there as well, too. So the first 50 minutes of this interview was Jane Elliott babbling about making whites suffer the way blacks do and trying to help them make a change and getting rid of white superiority. And she was talking about some sob stories about some black woman and white people being ignorant and how we are all one race, and that's the human race and all this other shit. And Emmanuel made some good points and challenged her here and there. And at some point in the conversation, the topic came up about reparations, and it started to take a bit of a left turn from my perspective. So Jane started kind of getting rude with the brother because when she started talking about how white people are racist out of ignorance, he challenged her by saying, "What about genetic annihilation, which is subconscious?" She was cutting him off, and you could see her getting visibly irritated with him, and said in so many words, "They don't know all of these big syllable words. We have to convince young white people to be kinder to melanated people who will one day rule this world as the majority, so they will be able to live to be old white people like her." She then started talking about how the truth is that the sun will wipe a lot of them out if they're not taken care of. Emmanuel brought up that being of a majority isn't synonymous with having power because there are more melanated people, especially in Africa now, than white people all over the globe put together, and white supremacy is still a global thing despite that. And she kept going back to her original point and said that ultimately the solution is to educate whites to be better so black people would care to spare them from dying off because of this, again, skin disease that they're going to get from the sun, from being in the sun. Then she kind of threw salt on reparations because she said a lot of people like to get into all of these other solutions that she feels are not better, such as talking about the past and making payments to black people. That's what she said specifically about making payments to black people. Like, those were her actual words. And when she said that, that sparked my interest right there. It's funny how she pointed out black people when most of her lectures and statements are to talk about every person who has some sort of color in their skin and how whites treat them. You know, it's usually people of color this and that. In this context, though, she singled us out explicitly. Then she had the nerve to tell this brother that, and really all of us who are watching, who are FBA, that the natives deserved reparations before us. And even when this brother challenged her about how they had already gotten their reparations, and now it's black's turn to get reparations, she compared this brother, a black man, to the white supremacist. And she was saying that his talking point is the same thing that a white supremacist would say to the natives. And he's doing now the same thing. How dare this old ass white woman sit here and say that disrespectful shit? Our brother could never be a white supremacist. But what she did was exemplify how the pot sometimes calls the kettle black. She is projecting her own white supremacy onto this brother. And yes, family, liberals can absolutely be white supremacist. She sat here and told a black man what his place was in line to deserve reparations. I mean, I thought Jane's whole shtick was listening to black folks and not telling them where their place was, or where their place was in line in any fashion. But instead, she got her old ass up on that video chat with him and told him in so many words, "Nigga, get your ass in line. You second." And by the way, I thought reparations wasn't a viable solution to you at all, Jane. Now all of a sudden, you are hyper-analyzing who should get it first? And then the funny thing about all this is, she's the one who brought it up. By the way, never mind the fact that the red natives that she is speaking about, enslaved some of us as well, too. I didn't get to tell y'all this, by the way, but on my birthday this past September on Labor Day, or around Labor Day, actually, I don't think it was exactly on Labor Day, I went to Tulsa, Oklahoma with my wife, and we did a Black Wall Street tour. Specifically, it was called the Real Black Wall Street Tours. If you're ever in Tulsa, Oklahoma, you've got to do it. It is the best tour ever. I loved it. And our tour guide, he goes by the name Chief Amusan, if I'm not mistaken. By the way, if he's listening, shout out to that brother, because he broke everything down for us, and he broke it down beautifully. So anyway, some of his ancestors were a key part of building up Black Wall Street in Tulsa, and they were around during the massacre, because that is actually where he is from. And he told me about how the red natives enslaved some of the FBAs in Oklahoma and took their land as well, too, just like the white supremacists. He also talked about how white people even posed as $5 Indians to get in some of the native, to get some of that native reparations money. So right now, there are some white folks who are even posing as natives with a cut of some of that reparations as well, too. So again, never mind all that. Never mind the idea that FBAs haven't even touched a penny of that, but we're second. Okay, Jane. Okay. So, continuing on, one thing she said that really chapped my ass, but also gave me a moment of adrenaline at the same time, was, we can't worry about yesterday, but we can arrange for tomorrow to be better for all of us. At the point where she said this, I said, boom. There it is. There it is. The white supremacist potential is within every white person, no matter how yo-yo-yo word to the mother you are, as Tariq Nasheed would put. Jane Elliott's whole statement was about moving forward without giving real accountability to the oppressor outside of a slap on the wrist that said, "Shame on you for being privileged." See, this is one thing you gotta watch out for, family. White supremacists will get out here, say some true things, that our people can get down with, like, let's straighten out these evil white folks and how they had a little old black woman who shed tears of pain because she was so afraid that white folks would call her son a nigger in school and all types of sad tales, and then march in the streets to protest with black folks as if that's some kind of flex, and it's really not. And then they will turn around and show their pale white supremacist ass. I've seen this shit in real life too. I used to work with a few white liberals, and they were the same way. When it was time to talk about social justice, they would act like they gave a damn about black folks and talking about people of color and all this and that and how woke, quote unquote, they are. And then they would turn around and say something low-key racist. One of them talked about population control and made jokes when I talked about how black women were getting snatched up and trafficked and all this other stuff. And I could give a few more examples, but I'll save that for another time. I just wanted to throw a couple out at you. Matter of fact, some of these were just down... Some of these people I'm talking about, one person in particular, was just a downright communal narcissist. And again, I know this because I used to work with this person who was a white woman who was just like this. If you don't know what a communal narcissist is, by the way, it's basically a person who acts like they are down for all of these causes and wanting to help people and wanting to give back and all this other shit. And this is a facade that they show other people or what other people who don't know them for real see. But then when they get around people who know them or who they're close to or who they're working closely with, they're downright cruel, disrespectful, they have a martyr mentality and believe they know it all, or they do things to make it seem like they are better than others or know more. And typically this attitude is expressed towards people who are non-white. Not in every case, but typically it's to non-white folks. I've seen it in this particular person I'm talking about, and I see it in the typical liberal white who also shows signs of white supremacy as well, too, potential white supremacy. This person was actually one of the first people to make me mistrustful of white liberals when I didn't know any better, and I was not wrong ever since, if I'm being very honest. And people like Jane Elliott profit off of giving anti-racism speeches and lectures while not being advocates for doing anything tangible to change the trajectory of the world to atone for the crimes that have been committed against the people she seemingly speaks up for. And the funny thing about all that is, you goofy Negroes will sit up here, talk about how real she is and how she is a hero to blacks, and she is just a white supremacist that won't call you a nigger or treat you bad when big spotlights, cameras, and platforms are rolling. It's cool because she can get on some small YouTuber's platform and talk greasy to him and his partner, and nobody would really know it for real. Now, I will say, I did get on that brother for calling her the next John Brown or whatever he said. And then later, he kind of admitted that that comment didn't age well. We kind of laughed about it. But again, that's not a slight to him. I just thought it was funny because it was more so like a realization that, you know, he, even in that situation, saw her kind of in a positive light before he got to sit down and really, really speak to her and kind of get to the nitty gritty of like challenging her views. Anyway, my point in all this is, y'all gotta stop acting like white liberals like this are your friends. All in all, this chapped my ass because of the facade she is presenting, just like all of the white liberals in my personal life who exemplified such traits. My feeling is, serve your racism to me on a silver platter. Don't dress it up by talking about white accountability with no real traction, and stop creating this facade. But it also gave me adrenaline because I was able to spot it and see her dark side, just like I saw the dark side of the person that I spoke about as well in my personal life. What's interesting too is this person actually, I believe, was kind of a fan of Jane Elliott, if I'm not mistaken. So anyway, my man Emmanuel asked her a question, and the question alluded to my issue with Jane Elliott, which was, After 500 plus years of stealing, killing, destroying, subjugating, exploiting, and exterminating people, what do white people deserve? So Jane responded and she said, well, If they got what they deserve, they wouldn't be alive. But we don't get what we deserve. You get what you ask for. And what we got was a country that is split down the middle because of the ignorance of people who would either refuse to vote at all because they didn't like who was running, or they would vote to select this fool. And I think she was alluding to Donald Trump, by the way. And right now, we are living with the consequences of our behavior. If you sow the wind, you will reap the whirlwind, and that is exactly what is happening to people in this country today. We are in deep doggy doo-doo because of the way we behaved. See, that right there, family, that is equivocation, deflecting, and changing the subject at its finest. All that liberal male babble didn't make a lick of sense, and y'all know it. She coaxed not having an answer into big bad wolf isms. The brother asked you, what do white people deserve after their crimes? And you unsmoothly turned this into a conversation about Trump and shaming an ambiguous group of people who didn't want to vote or they voted for Trump. At the same time, and this is something I kind of picked up on, she also discouraged the power of blacks pulling their vote away for not having their demands met. She almost is speaking against black empowerment and compensatory justice. In my opinion, when I look at all this, what I say is, how are you going to instruct your people to do better with no real repercussion? And let me give you an example. If a male rapist rapes a woman, you can't sit that rapist mentally ill son down and say, have you ever had the fear of being attacked by a woman and raped? If you haven't, then realize that some women have. You have a mental illness and it needs to be fixed. Then let's say that said rapist dies and the woman who got raped wants justice, and she comes forth and says, how about for the crimes of the rapist I get some compensation for my suffering and damage? And then the response to that would be, we can't change the past, but we can make sure is that we don't have future rapists. Most victims will be highly upset because they will find that to be highly insensitive. And before you say that's not the same thing, this is what I would say. You're right. A white person who lays his or her head in the home or cottage his ancestors stole from black families that they killed, enslaved, and brutalized, and technically with knowledge of this event, and without having to return the property, is not the same. And yes, 500 years of this happening to all black American ancestors, all black Americans' ancestors in this country, is not the same as the occurrence of a single person who got raped. And this is not to negate what happens to a rape victim, because no one should experience that. No one at all. And I don't find any type of rape jokes funny, for that matter. But it's to show how deep-rooted this issue truly is. So since we're talking about politics and reparations in this podcast, I want to tell y'all what I would do if I were a politician, kind of loosely. First of all, when it comes to my views, I consider myself somewhere in the center, although I do not claim or am loyal to any party. My loyalty is to black people, and no matter what, every decision I make will be to the benefit of my people. If I had a campaign slogan, my campaign would be, make America honor and endow its creators. I would run an aggressive reparations platform. I would stand pro-gun because I believe in blacks being able to protect themselves from unruly white supremacists. I'd be pro-choice conditional. I believe women should have their abortions in extreme circumstances, but I'd maybe set a limit. I don't know what that would look like, though. To me, the rate of being raped and having a child as a woman is low, but still, I wanted to make sure that's available for people who didn't ask for that to happen to them. I'd be for aggressive student loan forgiveness. I would be totally against illegal immigration, and I would have zero focus on legal immigration one way or another. I think we have some real immigrant riders here in the non-FBA community, in the black community in general, but they are outweighed by the coon class, in my opinion. I would promise laws put in place for black Americans and blacks in general. I would be for universal health care as well. And as far as what party I'd run for, as of right now, I'd probably go conservative like the Republicans, but that could very well easily change. So take that last statement with a grain of salt. And I'm not saying that I align with the conservatives either, but I could see that campaign, what I've said to you, being more appealing to them than to the liberals to some degree. But I think they are both real racist, real equal racist, actually. But yeah, in a nutshell, that's what I would do. And maybe one day I'll try to carry that out, but we'll have to see, because I already have a future where I plan to be a very busy man and a very productive man at that, so I can change the scope of the way that things look for us. Anyway, y'all, that's the episode. I hope y'all enjoyed it. We got to chop it up about a lot of different things. If you're listening to this podcast, feel free to tell anybody who you know about it, who you think would enjoy it, because I would love to have more people listening to, you know, the things that I am speaking about and my perspectives and whatnot. Other than that, I hope y'all have a good rest of y'all's night, and I will be talking to y'all soon. We got one more episode left. Peace.